This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. So we're going to begin today with the future of ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft in Boston. They allow you to summon a ride with your smartphone and bypass traditional taxis. They operate in cities across the U.S., and now the Boston City Council is considering how or if to regulate them. Currently, the city does not regulate them, and conventional taxi drivers say that's unfair. Dozens of them gathered in front of City Hall this afternoon to push for new rules. Some of the drivers, like Malik Abbas, say Boston should keep companies like Uber out of the city altogether.
I do not want any ex-Uber is coming over here stealing our jobs because I cannot afford to pay my taxi mortgage. I cannot. I cannot afford to pay my rent.
Supporters of the ride-sharing services were there as well. Uber spokesman Taylor Bennett said the new regulations could work as long as they allow ride-sharing to continue.
We are pro-regulation. We want to have a structure that embraces ride-sharing as an alternative for Bostonians here.
WBUR's Kurt Nickisch is at City Hall, and he joins us now. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, Anthony.
So give us a sense of, first of all, the sort of mood down there at City Hall this afternoon. I gather both sides were out in force.
Yeah, you had taxi drivers out in front of City Hall before the hearing started, saying that they wanted these services like Uber and Lyft to be stopped. But you also had Uber had set up a little awning and was passing out information. Then everybody filed into the hearing, and it's packed. A lot of people are sort of in standing room only outside in overflow. And inside, it's really interesting because you have one bank of seats, and it's sort of filled with taxi drivers, and then you have another bank of seats filled with these ride-sharing operators, a lot of them in pink shirts that said Lyft, one of the companies. And they don't look that different. It's not like you've got, you know, working-class folks on one side and people with Google glasses on the other. It's very diverse in both places. And when Tito Jackson, the city councilor, said, you know, he thought it's important that rides for hire are available in all parts of Boston and in all neighborhoods, you saw a lot of people in those pink shirts nodding their heads in agreement.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you, first of all, what the taxi drivers are saying, the traditional taxi drivers. Uber's proven pretty popular with users. And some estimates say these ride-sharing companies have cut profits of traditional taxis by 30%. What did you hear from the drivers themselves?
Well, they absolutely feel squeezed. They are unhappy that, a lot of people are sort of voting with their fingertips and using apps to hire rides directly. But when you talk to them privately, they also admit that they're not happy with taxi operators. I mean, Malik Abbas, who we heard from moments ago, he talked about his taxi mortgage. That's what he has to pay to be able to rent a taxi from somebody who's licensed to own a taxi, a medallion owner. And that's what he has to pay. And so that's what he essentially has to clear before he could start making any money in a week. And that's something like $700 a week. And so they want more medallions to go out to lower that rental cost, to increase the supply and lower their upfront costs. So when you hear from taxi drivers, it's important to know that this isn't, that's what they want and not necessarily what the taxi industry in Boston wants.
Right. That's an important distinction. So talk about the other side of this argument. We heard there from Uber spokesman Taylor Bennett saying that they are pro-regulation, but they want to have a structure that allows ride sharing to continue. Are they serious? I mean, are they open to regulation? And if so, what would that regulation look like?
Well, this is where it starts getting political, right? Because he said that and he talked about, having a voice in this conversation, but not really talking about specifics yet. I mean, the things that are at stake here are really the direct sort of consumer-to-consumer ride-sharing services. Because Uber does offer a platform where you can get a black car or a SUV, and those are licensed in Boston. Those have livery plates. They're required to get commercial insurance. But there's also UberX and UberXL and Lyft, which is someone like you or me taking their car out and offering a ride to somebody else. And these services sort of handle the transactions and the money and connect, supply and demand of those things. And those they're not subject to any commercial regulation. You do pay excise taxes. You do have to inspect your car, but taxis have to have their cars inspected twice a year. And so there are lots of those regulations and fees that are on taxis that are not placed on these consumer-to-consumer services that Uber and Lyft coordinate. And whether that regulation comes up for Lyft and Uber or comes down for taxis and meets somewhere in between, that's the battle that's going on now.
That's the battle that goes on now. So where does this go from here? When might the city council announce some kind of a decision on this?
It's really not clear because they are waiting on a report from a city taxi commission that they're hearing from right now as we speak in the city council chambers. They're sort of giving some of their preliminary information and some of the background and some of the things that they're taking into consideration. But they're doing a report looking at the industry, so not just ride-sharing services, but also taxis and hackneys, and so rides for hire in general. And they're going to come out with a report, and then the city council moves forward. This is a battle, so these things often take longer than shorter, right? So so I don't expect this soon, but it's really not clear when. There's no certain timeline.
All right. Well, that's WBUR's Kurt Nickisch live at City Hall talking about the future of ride-sharing companies in Boston. Kurt, thanks so much.
You got it, Anthony.
And joining me now to talk more about this is Tom LeCompte. He's a licensed taxi driver in Boston, and he contributed a piece to WBUR's Cognoscenti opinion page in which he says he understands the concerns of his fellow taxi drivers, but he also says companies like Uber go right to the heart of everything that is wrong about the traditional taxi medallion industry. And Tom LeCompte, thanks for coming into Radio Boston. We're very grateful.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get to this fight over Uber, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the economics of driving a cab in Boston. You had to get licensed by the city. You had to operate a car that meets standards, a lot of taxes and so forth. What's involved in terms of what it takes to become a taxi driver?
Well, you have to go to classes hosted by the Boston Police Department, and you have to get your license, and then you have to go find a company to work for. And every you can either do a long-term lease in which you drive full-time, or you can drive do a day-by-day where you end up paying around $120 with all the fees incurred with the lease. And
right. So if you have to pay $120 a day, right, so what is, I mean, let's say you have a particularly good day, what are you going to clear?
Well, if it's a good Friday or Saturday night, you can make $400 or $500.
Yeah. On top of that $120 that you're paying. Or, I mean, that's what you come
home
with.
That's total. You subtract that.
Right. And on an average day?
Well, on a Tuesday, you know, you might come home with $200.
Yeah. So I'm curious sort of what your view of this fight is right now. We heard from some taxi drivers there. We heard from Kurt Nickisch. They really feel squeezed by companies like Uber and Lyft. Is that your view? Does it actually squeeze in on your take home, for example?
Well, in fairness, I haven't driven for several months, so I can't say that I've personally felt Uber reaching into my pocket and taking my pay. But I can certainly understand people's anxieties over it. While I was driving, I would say 80% of my fares came from cab stands and street hails. So I'm not even sure if I would have noticed it.
Yeah, yeah. So if most of your fares came from cab stands and street hails, then it stands to reason that a rideshare company like Uber, like Lyft, is obviously going to cut into that in a big way. Right.
Well, they cannot pick up street hails. Uber can't. It sort of operates in that gray area towards livery services.
Yeah. Let me also ask you, though, when you write that Uber goes right to the heart of everything that is wrong about the traditional taxi industry, what are you referring to there?
Well, basically, the medallion industry is a government-sponsored monopoly, and it sort of does not respond to market conditions. It squelches innovation, and you know, I can really see why Uber is very attractive. It's easy, convenient, reliable, and as a dispatching system, it's something cab systems could have used years ago.
Yeah. So in a funny way, I mean, do you see, as you look down the road, is there a way that this sort of fight between the traditional taxi industry and Uber will arrive at some new standard that may redefine the entire industry that may be helpful to everybody?
Well, I would guess. I think a city like Boston certainly has a right to ensure the safety and convenience of its transportation system. So I think that people who drive for Uber will at some point have to submit to some sort of regulation. As far as the actual number of drivers or cars out there, I think the medallion system is a dinosaur, and it needs to go. And right now, you know, a lot of people invest in cab medallions just because, well, they cost $800,000, and they can just pretty much sit on those and wait for them to go up in value.
Yeah. We've reported on this. The Boston Globe has done extensive reporting on the cab business here in Boston that a lot of drivers it's tough for a lot of drivers. They're often exploited by the companies that own the medallions, forced to bribe people to get shifts, gouged on gas. I'm wondering if you feel as a licensed driver, if I don't know, in some ways, allowing companies in like Uber and Lyft could really help reform that system.
I think so. If nothing else, it gives the drivers a lot more flexibility. You know, right now they're locked into these 12-hour shifts, mm-hmm. And having to work at times, you know, when they could be at home or doing something more productive. I think by sort of opening up the system, it would make life a lot easier for being a cab driver, because it's just not easy. It's a hard life, and it's dangerous and long hours, and it's you know, a tough way to make a living.
Tough way to make a living, yeah. So do you see middle ground here? Is there how do you think this will play out? Or how would you hope it would play out?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, we'll see if the owners, the cab owners, are you know, going to be willing to relinquish the medallions. Because, I mean, right now, I think that's the toughest thing to get in the way is, you know, I think the drivers would be open to having more flexibility. The customers certainly are, and right now it's just politics and the owners.
Final question. If you were advising some person who was considering becoming a cab driver, would you tell them to go the traditional route that you took, or would you say sign up with something like UberX?
You know, I haven't driven for Uber, but I'd say it's an attractive possibility. You know, I think there are certain problems with it. You know, if something goes wrong, Uber is not going to be at your back there, because of course they don't provide rides; they just, you know, are like a bulletin board. But I think as a way to make a little spare money, it might work.
All right. Well, that's Tom LeCompte. He is a licensed taxi driver in the city of Boston. He's also a contributor to WBUR's Cognoscenti page, and you can read the piece that he submitted at RadioBoston.org. Tom, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, a behind-the-scenes look at the neurology department at Brigham and Women's Hospital and what it takes to diagnose and treat people with brain disease. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.